claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Bring in after the break at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, thank you.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have some news that may or may not be authentic, troubles me, significant enough for us to discuss, and why I have certain reservations. We have a red alert. This is on Before It's News. President Biden and Vice President Harris both flown to Area 51 for an emergency briefing. You can find it on Before It's News. We have setting the stage. Biden's approval ratings are plummeting. COVID-19 vaccines are being exposed as a bioweapon. They need a war now. Would this surprise anyone? Actually, those are fairly good reasons that I would not be surprised. I've reported here that Biden might want a war, though, because of the awkward, clumsy way in which he executed the withdrawal from Afghanistan. I'm very suspicious that any war he would get us into would be attributed to his incompetence. Remember the famous observation of Barack Obama: never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. Meanwhile, the situation between the U.S. and NATO has become critical, according to Before It's News. If you hear news that any of these radar stations has had an incident, that's your proof that World War III has commenced. A nuclear attack against the U.S. is in progress. Here are some of the highlights. Ukraine continues to prepare to attack Donetsk and Luhansk. F-16s have been positioned into Ukraine. Proper F-15s have been positioned into Romania. 1,000 MIAI and MIA-2 tanks have been shipped to Romania and Greece. Russia's asked NATO for security guarantees and has been rejected. That was incredibly stupid, because we've been promising not to encroach upon the Eastern Bloc nations since the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. That was part of our agreement. The U.S., EU, and NATO have attempted to overthrow the government of Kazakhstan just last week, which the Russians suppressed rather straightforwardly. NATO again rejects Russian requests for security guarantees. Russia says will obtain them by other means. Russia begins airlift of strategic supplies to a doomsday bunker at Mount Yamanato in the Ural Mountains. Russian aircraft capable of anti-satellite launches are being fueled and readied throughout Russia. The U.S. military has been recalling active reservists for immediate deployment to Europe all week. Now, my guest today, whom I will introduce after the break, has an extensive military background. He's a former Green Beret. He has a lot of thoughts about how we can improve American defensive capabilities. I am certain he will have a lot to say about this developing story. Meanwhile, we have a tweet: fairly significant Russian airlift fleet on the ground in Kazakhstan now. A total of 15 Russian Ilyushin L-76 on ground at Almaty Airport, Kazakhstan, can be seen in videos posted on RT, formerly Russia Today, Kazakhstan Live blog. Most of you are aware from reports in the mass media for several months saying Russia is massing troops along Ukraine's borders. What those reports fail to say is that this was in response to Ukraine massing almost 50% of its entire army along the border of the two breakaway states of Luhansk and Donetsk. Very interesting stuff. I'll be eager to get my guests' opinion about these developments at the appropriate time. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments on the vaccine mandates, where leftist judges are showing their lack of knowledge of what's taking place here. They don't seem to have any awareness of the facts of the matter. Justice Breyer, for example, cited 750 million Americans infected yesterday as his reference point to justify support for Biden's mandates. Unfortunately, there are only 350 million Americans alive. I mean, what a joke. Meanwhile, Sotomayor, another leftist in a black robe, who's, I think, not incorrectly described as a virtual communist, states 100,000 kids are currently in the hospital, which is false, that the Omicron variant is proven more deadly than Delta, which is false, that COVID deaths are at an all-time high, which is also false, worse yet, that OSHA's regulatory authority is part of the federal police power, which is false. Not only that, but it's an issue before the court. This is very embarrassing, very embarrassing. As to the aspect of the argument surrounding the Monday's deadline of mask enforcement for unvaccinated workers, all the leftists on the court held firm in their belief that masks stop the virus, which is also false. I've reported on this many, many times. I must have a dozen blogs about it at jamesfetzer.org. We know that the filtration of the mask is so coarse that the viruses are so small they cannot possibly prevent viruses from passing through these masks, which are to be a virtual signaling, really behavioral control mechanism. If you can force people or induce them to wear masks when they do them no good and actually do them overt harm, remember, the masks are recycling oxygen-depleted air. That means they're killing brain cells, which, unlike skin cells, do not regenerate. They're also putting strains on our cardiovascular system. There are a tremendous number of deaths that are occurring now, including famous international athletes, soccer players dropping dead on the field because they're having heart attacks. Those aren't from the masks. Those are from the vax, where the masks appear to be designed to kill us slowly, the vax to kill us more rapidly, and then ultimately, it appears, they're going to use food shortages to starve us to death. Meanwhile, this is stunning developments in the court, but I'm glad to say that the COVID circumstances do not appear to outweigh the views of the court's six conservatives that the administration has overstepped its authority in its vaccine or testing requirement for businesses with at least 100 employees. This is something the federal government has never done before, Chief Justice John Roberts observed, casting doubt on the administration argument that a half century of established law, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, confers such broad authority. Justices Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett probably hold the key to the outcome of both cases, mask and vaccine mandate. Unfortunately, all have been receptive to state-level vaccine requirements in preceding cases. Whether they will support the first ever federal mandate is yet to be determined. I believe it's very clear they are not going to support a federal mandate here, but they're going to return it to the states. The problem is we have been played again and again and again. We've given so many stories that were supposed to be hoaxes when they were announced that have turned out to be true, including that the vaccinated can still spread COVID, that the vaccinated are susceptible to new variants and reinfection, that the COVID vaccines cause blood clots and other serious side effects, that there will be third and fourth shots, there'll even be proposals for new shots every year or half a year, that there'll be shots for young children, a total segregation of society between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, camps for the unvaxxed, unvaxxed unable to work, harder access to medical care for the unvaxxed, secret contracts between Pfizer and the government, all of those we were told were untrue, that they qualified as hoaxes only a year ago. Every one has proven to be true. Now, Amy Coney Barrett raised a really key question here of the Solicitor General, who argues on behalf of the administration in a case before the Supreme Court. So when does the emergency end, Justice Barrett asks, on behalf of the American people? This is a key question as we enter the third year of a pandemic that's seen the upending of our economy, our educational system, our public and personal lives. When does the emergency end? So she asked Amy Coney Barrett, Solicitor General Elizabeth Preloger, in the case of National Federation of Independent Business versus Department of Labor on Friday. Preloger was arguing for mandates on behalf of the Biden administration, which has pushed them forward despite knowing legal challenges would be forthcoming in the hope of forcing people to get vaccinated simply by issuance of a preliminary rule. The emergency temporary standard claimed by Biden and OSHA was not enacted at the outset of the emergency or even a year into it, or even as soon as Biden stepped into the White House and began executive orders overturning every Trump order he could think of. The emergency was claimed 9 months after that, by which time the emergency was not the pandemic, but the refusal of many Americans to take the vax. Barrett took notice. For her, one of the key questions was not the need to push through perhaps unjust laws due to the severity of the pandemic, but about the emergence of seemingly endless emergency powers that have been taken by federal, state, and local governments. Biden, in many cases, has legislated the pandemic through executive orders, some of which have already come before the court. And he's not the only one. In New York, ousted Governor Andrew Cuomo issued his directives through his pen alone without consulting the people's duly elected representatives in the state Senate or the state assembly. His counterpart in New York City, Bill de Blasio, who thank God has just left office, did the same. He's been described as the worst mayor in the history of the city, and I have no doubt that he deserves that accolade. City Council has not been consulted on de Blasio's vaccine mandate, which even went go further than those of Biden administration is currently litigating before the Supreme Court. Even City Council members, speaking to the post-millennial off the record, have no idea when these powers will come to an end and have no say in it. Barrett asked Preloger about the status of this rule as an ETS or as an emergency temporary standard. She brought up the dissent of Chief Justice Jeffrey Sutton, who had heard the argument for the mandate in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which declined to hear the case, thereby upholding Biden's mandate. But Justice Sutton nevertheless submitted a dissent as follows. When much is sought from a statute, much must be shown, he wrote succinctly. James, just mute your mic, okay? Mute your mic. We're getting background. The Secretary of Labor asked a lot of the Occupational Safety and Health Act. He claims authority to issue an emergency rule scheduled to go in effect on January 4th that will require roughly 80 million workers to become vaccinated or face a weekly self-financed testing requirement and a daily masking requirement. At the same time, he assumes authority to regulate an area, public health and safety, traditionally regulated by the states. If valid, Sutton continues, the rule would nullify all contrary state and local regulations as the power to regulate nationally is the power to preempt locally. Such broad assertions of administrative power demand unmistakable legislative support. The federal courts expect Congress to speak clearly when authorizing an agency to exercise powers of vast economic and political significance and to use exceedingly clear language if it wishes to significantly alter the balance between federal and state power. Congress, however, did not clearly grant the Secretary of Labor authority to impose this vaccinator test mandate, he wrote. Barrett referenced Sutton's dissent, saying OSHA did not adopt this rule in response to the emergency as an emergency because it had been ongoing since early 2020, but instead responded to new facts on the ground, which included the widespread availability of a vaccine that maybe it was a surprise many people chose to forego, and the emergence of the Delta variant. And Chief Judge Sutton, Barrett continued, pointed out that in an extended pandemic, or I don't know if we've moved to an endemic such as this one, facts will continually change, new variants will emerge, there might be new treatments, new vaccinations. We have boosters now, right? So now full vaccination might not just be the two jabs, it might include a booster as well. So when does the emergency end? Very good. I commend her. This is all totally appropriate. She continues, I mean, a lot of this argument has been about Congress failure to act. 2 years from now, do we have any reason to think that COVID will be gone or that new variants might not be emerging? And when must OSHA actually resort to its regular authority and go through notice and comment and not simply be kind of doing it in this quick way, which doesn't afford people the voice in the process that they're otherwise entitled to? Excellent, excellent questions. Preliger answered, Congress defined when the emergency exists. It labeled this as an emergency temporary standard, but it's dictated by the statutory requirements. So there has to be a grave danger from a physically harmful agent or a new hazard, and the measures have to be necessary to protect against that danger. And we don't think there is an additional free-floating requirement about emergency status that has to be taken into account. So it could still be an emergency 2 more years from now, Barrett asked. Well, I certainly take the point that the emergency can be of substantial duration, of course. This is not a way to bypass notice and comment permanently. Congress further specified that the agency is expected to conduct a rulemaking process over 6 months, and that's why the agency estimated the lives saved, the hospitalizations prevented over the 6 month life of the rule, Preliger responded, essentially saying that the administration has to enact this emergency rule while Congress takes its time to decide if the rule should be enacted at all. Barrett asks a key question. It's one to which there's not been any kind of real answer. When does the pandemic end? And when does it become endemic, such as other coronaviruses are? When do the emergency powers grabbed by executive office holders end? When do the people's representatives get their say back in how we are governed and over the laws that legislate our lives? All of that completely appropriate. Meanwhile, we have a development over the FDA's request to release the data that was supposed to have justified authorizing Pfizer's mRNA vaccine on an emergency use basis. They want 75 years to release it. Now, think about it. This occurred in the wake of the Warren Commission's investigation of JFK. The Warren Commission locked up all of its documents, records, for 75 years. Now, what that meant was, because the average life expectancy of an American is 75 years, that no one who was alive at the time of the assassination of JFK, 22 November 1963, would be expected to be alive 75 years later. The FDA, incredibly, is pulling the same gambit, trying to put it off for 75 years when everyone who is alive now would be dead. A federal judge on Thursday ordered the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to produce, at the rate of 55,000 pages per month, the documents it relied on to license the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. The rate of 55,000 pages a month means the FDA has just over 8 months to produce all of Pfizer's pre-licensure safety data. That's much faster than the 500 pages per month rate the FDA proposed in December. That rate would have effectively given the agency roughly 75 years to fully produce the data. U.S. District Judge Mark Pittman ordered the FDA to produce more than 12,000 pages on or before January 31st, which was what the FDA had proposed in part, then ordered the agency to produce the remaining documents at a rate of 55,000 pages every 30 days. The first production due on or before March 1st, 2022, until production is complete. Here, the court recognizes the unduly burdensome challenges this FOIA request may present to the FDA, but, as expressed at the scheduling conference, there may not be more important issues at the Food and Drug Administration than the pandemic, the Pfizer vaccine, getting every American vaxxed, making sure the American public is assured that this was not rushed on behalf of the United States. Accordingly, the court concludes this FOIA request is of paramount public importance. I like this. This is a good decision. It ought to be done even sooner. It's very clear the CDC and the FDA have become the marketing arms of Big Pharma, who appears to exercise massive control over the American government and especially the agencies that we have expected to protect us on matters of health. The case was brought by the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency, which said the data should be made public quickly because the FDA took just 108 days to review the data before granting the Pfizer biotech vaccine full approval. Pfizer began its rolling submission on May 7th, and the vaccine was licensed on August 23rd, a total of 108 days from initial submission to licensure. The group, a nonprofit, which comprises public health professionals, medical professionals, scientists, and journalists, includes Dr. Harvey Rice, professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health, Professor Aaron Kiernati, until recently a professor of psychiatry at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and Dr. Peter McCullough, a cardiologist, epidemiologist, and internist, who's an excellent guy. You can find presentations by Peter McCullough, for example, on my BitChute channel at BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. Obviously, this was extremely urgent matter, especially when we know the devastation being wrought by the vaccine is being suppressed deliberately for political reasons. Here, for example, was a tweet from Betty White. Eat healthy and get all your vaccines. I just got boosted today, said Betty White on December 28, 2021. Betty White, I'm lucky to still be in good health. And now, of course, she is dead. And they want to suppress the fact that Betty just got her booster. There's issues here on multiple grounds about what's going on here, but where the President Macron of France says he wants to piss off the unjabbed by banning them from social life with a vax pass. Mind you, what's going on in France is something you can anticipate Biden's going to try here in the USA today. French President Emmanuel Macron has caused outrage after saying he intends to piss off the unjabbed by implementing a vaccine pass regimen. I really want to piss him off, he said regarding the French who are unvaccinated, sparking outrage in the country. He made the comments in relation to his government's plan to implement a vaccine pass regime in France, a plan which has now been repeatedly frustrated after debate surrounding the measure was suspended again in the early hours of Wednesday of last week. Me, I'm not for pissing off the French, said, but as for the vaccinated, I really want to piss them off. And so we will continue to do so until the end. This is a strategy. And it went into detail about how he wants to piss them off. We put pressure on the unvaccinated by limiting for them as much as possible access to social life activities. I'm not going to put them in jail. I'm not going to forcibly vaccinate them. And so you have to tell them from January 15th, you'll no longer be able to go to the restaurant. You'll no longer be able to go for coffee. You'll no longer be able to go to the theater. You'll no longer be able to go to the movies. He went on to emphasize almost all, more than 90% have adhered to vaccination in France, and that it's a small minority that is resistant. He also talked about the immense moral fault of anti-vax, and other actions undermine what is the strength of the nation. But he obviously doesn't understand the vax is causing mass death and injury worldwide that is absolutely staggering. Let me add, I found this occurring here, gross ignorance, even by individuals who ought to know better. We have a medical ethicist at New York University, NYU, by the name of Arthur Kaplan. I've known Kaplan for decades when we were both on the faculty at the University of Minnesota, he in the Twin Cities, I in Duluth. By and large, he was being interviewed by John Berman on CNN. By and large, if you're vaccinated and boosted, even if you get infected, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine here. It's the unvaccinated who are going to be hurt. So why should anyone who's boosted bother at this point to do anything that makes the unvaccinated more safe? He asked. This was a softball question being told to him. They've got to come around, Kaplan claimed. We're not going to win this war. We're going to be talking about COVID this time next year if we don't get more people to do the right thing. So we can't write them off. We can penalize them more. We can say you'll have to pay more for your hospital bill. You can't get life insurance or disability insurance at affordable rates if you aren't vaccinated. Those companies should not treat us as equals in terms of what the financial burdens are that this disease imposes. I was simply stunned that Arthur Kaplan would make such a declaration so outrageously in violation of the facts of the matter and his ethical obligations in the area. So I wrote to the dean of his college and others on the administration. Dear Dean Grossman and others, your medical ethics professor, Arthur Kaplan, whom I've known for decades from the time we were both on the faculty of the University of Minnesota, has grossly violated medical ethical standards by seeking to punish those who are unwilling to have their decisions about their health dictated by the Biden administration, which has been pushing vaccine mandates in violation of the law in the U.S. Constitution and even the Nuremberg Code. The evidence has become simply overwhelming that these vaccines, for which emergency use authorization have been given, are causing massive damage to the public and a stunning increase in the death rates contingent upon their introduction. The graphs are like hockey sticks on the side, with normal rates of death prior to their introduction and skyrocketing deaths thereafter. Even insurance companies are reporting staggering 40% increases in death. We'll be right back with my special guest.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomsteps.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
My guest today is running for the Republican nomination for governor of Wisconsin. He has an unusual background, including as a former Green Beret, and he is running, at least in part, to create a brand new cavalry for the United States Army, including new self-sustaining bases and aircraft, vertical lift, it appears, that are about the size of an SUV. He wants to pitch a brand new industrial revolution based on the development of a new vertical lift transportation system. I have teed up a number of major issues we're confronting here. He's also run for president in the past. James Romania, welcome to the show. You can kick it off wherever you like, or I'll raise questions for you. Thanks for joining us here on the Raw Deal today.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, thanks. First of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on. The subject matter you just described to your audience, just so you know, I just recently found out about your show, like Wednesday or Thursday, and I've been listening. It's very good. So thank you for having me on. The problems with Afghanistan is how the bases were laid in. So the United States takes approach to laying in the bases, which is kind of a Soviet style. Obviously a different agenda from, you know, American culture, but the manner in which they do so is a Soviet style. And let me try and explain with more specificity what that actually means. So the bases go in places where it alters the flow of traffic that the local populace is using on a daily basis, generally, you know, from one village to the next, or different options of getting from A to B to get their basic needs. Like, the next village over has people who have more beans. We need beans for the week. Rice, water is a big deal. So what this does is it kind of creates, it doesn't kind of, it definitely does, unless you're going to be in the area for like 6 months to a year, what this does is it creates an insurgency. So you're kind of like trapped in a catch-22, where people who might not otherwise get involved with the conflict are getting, like, pissed off every day. And what this does is you have people now picking up guns, AK-47s and whatnot, which I might add were flowing into the country at an alarming rate, and they were very shiny and new, and they definitely had Chinese markings on them. They were very shiny AK-47s, and there's quite a few. So anyway, what I wanted to do is change the flow of movement for the United States Army. Quite frankly, it's crap. So let me give you a little bit of background where I can say that with great authority. Like, in other words, if I run for governor or maybe even the presidency again, it's been a six-year project through, which has been going on since late 2011 under the Obama administration. Like, everyone relevant contact to get this through has been contacted. I mean, through phone calls, voice messages, emails. So this has been on hold for a long time. The manner in which the Army moves over the land is crap. Convoys everywhere. And just so you know, like, when you see on the news, more troops have been killed in, like, an ambush alley, in quotes. The whole country is an ambush alley. There's nowhere to go left or right.
And now, James, I'm having trouble hearing you, and if I'm having trouble hearing you, I'm sure everyone else is having trouble. Is there a way to...
I don't know. I have AT&T. I mean, usually it works. Can you hear me now?
Keep going. Just speak louder than you might normally. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do my best. Well, anyway, so a quick little background on me. I joined right after 9/11. And I joined the Army, and I went into the infantry. The first unit I went to does nothing but war games. So I have a good understanding of how the Army moves and how it functions and how it thinks. I went into the infantry, reconnaissance, platoon, military intelligence, where we did psychological operations, propaganda, like, against U.S. forces being deployed out to Iraq and Afghanistan. I then went into special forces. Are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Okay, so just to give you a quick background, I'm going to
continue.
Okay, cool. So anyway, I have a very good background. I went to Special Forces and I was a communications sergeant, which handled satellite communications, radio communications. I also continued doing military intelligence gathering and human intelligence gathering. So I got out to address this project. From a young age, I dreamed about going to, like, Lockheed Martin or Boeing for an aviation project. Since the solutions I'm about to present involved my dream career, essentially, hopefully shaping my own project and maybe becoming a test pilot on my own project, like Chuck Yeager or Buzz Aldrin, that sort of stuff. Well, this project is the reason the Russian hoax happened, because I informed everybody to get this project moved through so that you would have less troops getting blown up on the road or anywhere else for that matter, being ambushed. So aviation is the solution to this problem, a very large one, I might say, but it is going to work. And so it's also very valuable in terms of money, because now you can operate forces with far less people. The power of the Army now will come through speed and mobility, like maneuver, instead of just, it's really dumb and lumbering Army and how logistics are done for ground forces. It's absolute crap. So what I'm trying to do is pitch this, and so a lot of people are really interested in it now. I've been doing it for over 10 years, and this project was conceptualized in Hawaii while I was going to college there to try and do this, maybe get a grant or something. But so all of the Pacific Command is on Oahu. So a lot of people have known about this project for a long time. Let me put it this way. There's a very good reason Donald Trump had to fire James Comey. This has been informed. Everybody was informed. Every agency of the United States is on Oahu. It's largely a big military base. So this project was pitched in the bar, in the streets, to military officers and senior enlisted, and also on campus to a select few people I thought could help me. But this project was not going anywhere fast. It threatens the whole current system. The whole army would have to alter how they do things. The whole supply chain. Have you ever heard of this competition that's done in college? I think it's done at like MIT or Stanford. I could be wrong. You know, where you take a simple process like frying an egg or making toast or something like that, and you try and add as many steps as possible. Have you ever heard of this?
I'm not sure I have. Repeat the name or title.
Yeah, no, I can't recall the name of this competition, but colleges do it, like engineering students do it. They try and put as many steps into a simple process, like frying an egg or making toast or something like that. If you feel like the clock turns to 12, you know, a golf ball drops, and then it's, you know, in other words, it's a long, drawn-out process. But that's how the U.S. military operates. So many steps to do a very simple task. So what I want to try and pitch to the American people is to create a brand new cavalry where there's not all these moving pieces. The militaries that we create are in desperate need of a lot of air support, which is costly. So the Afghan population, for example, has no economy to support the size of the army that is being generated. That's called bloat. So the armies are being bloated.
Are you on a speakerphone? I mean, are you using your speaker?
Well, no, I'm using my headphones.
Okay, you're just using your headphones. Okay, I just thought if you were on speaker, it might be a little more distinct if you were not. But go right ahead.
Okay, so anyway, the reason why I wanted this project pushed through while there's before this withdrawal is because a lot of the research and development that has to be done to create these new aircraft, it would have been easier to do with the bureaucracy of the United States, like to do this over urban areas and handle problems of congestion. Effectively, where this is going is to create a new vertical lift transportation system, kind of like, I don't know if you've seen it, like Star Wars or The Fifth Element, where you now have traffic moving above ground traffic to alleviate the congestion, to deal with the security threats. We now have riots and stuff like that. It's very difficult to move through the cities and to react quickly right now. So going to a brand new vertical lift transportation system would be highly advantageous. And then furthermore, create a lot of good paying jobs. The consequences of this would be an industrial revolution because there's no place to park these aircraft or to have a vertical lift transportation system. So parking areas that we created, a lot of steel involved. I want the aircraft done with all carbon fiber frames, stuff like that. That requires oil as well. Also, the energy policy of America would have to go back to Donald Trump's plan, America First energy policy, to get this cost down to do something like this. But what we're looking at here, if you go my direction, if the United States decides to go my direction, you're going to get another golden era of aviation, like akin to aviation was interesting before World War II, but really the general aviation community really blows up after World War II, like the, how we know it to be today. The cost goes down. There's a lot of development that happens during World War II. And you get a big surge of interest in aviation, even more so than even World War I. You get a massive surge, which now it's being industrialized for mass transportation. So, I mean, I think this is going to turn into a massive boondoggle if somebody without experience tries to manage this project. And because all these different coordinations need to be made. So as like governor of Wisconsin, that means I'd have executive control of the National Guard, both the Strategic Airlift Command and also the Army National Guard. Furthermore, this would have to go be presented to NATO, other allies like Taiwan, the Ukraine, Poland. I'm sure I've been listening to your show, so you've been keeping up on some of that. And I'm not even, you know, it doesn't even mention South America yet or any of that. But this all has to be exported out quickly. It was there for the Afghan army to be done a long time ago. But you have the army and the intelligence agencies have been politically divided since I've been in Congress. You know, so that's 20 years ago. So this crap has been going on for a long time, and nobody can get any productive work done. I mean, unless I'm running against, like, General Norman Schwarzkopf of Colin Powell, which is going to be kind of hard to do. I mean, I'm not concerned about running against him because nobody really has any credibility for winning one. You know what I mean? So I would like more opportunity to explain the cause and effect of where this weapon system would have to go. And then you get a brand new transportation system out of it. People's lives get better. One of the biggest issues facing mankind today is urbanization. Mass urbanization, mega cities. How to move around these cities more efficiently. The security concerns in mega cities. Aviation will alleviate much of that. It's a force multiplier. Aviation, moving the country in the direction I want to go, would be far better for America. The United States would not have this big, huge lumbering army that needs massive supply before it would all be gone by adding a cavalry. Now, one of the problems with this concept is this whole cavalry in the new basin was conceptualized to be airborne capable, which means to be dropped in over the battlefield by a larger aircraft, like a C-5. Are you familiar with the C-5?
The C-5.
Massive.
We're talking about a big cargo plane, right?
Absolutely. So it's massive. The aircraft needed for a new cavalry, now keep in mind a cavalryman is just an infantryman with mounted ability. We have like mechanized cavalry, which means on tanks or some other rolling platform. We also have an air cavalry, kind of like, I don't know, have you seen a movie like Black Hawk Down? Something like that.
What was the name again, James?
The name of what?
I thought you mentioned the name of a movie.
Yeah, like I'm trying to give your listeners a visual example, like the movie Black Hawk Down, where everything kind of goes down.
How we put
soldiers on aircraft and move them into the battlefield. Well, this would be, we're going to go back to like a single seat fighter for a cavalry, one man, one horse. But in this respect, the horse is going to be a little helicopter. So they're not going to have the range to like fly them in long distances. It's something that has to be delivered onto any battlefield you can pick, essentially. So what I wanted to do is put that into an airborne capability. And so instead of like troopers jumping out of airplanes, each aircraft is going to be pushed out of a C-5. This presents some serious, serious problems, what I'm saying. We can put all these aircraft into a big C-5 and do what I'm saying, and also the bases that are going to be needed to do this. But the only way to get them out of the back of a C-5 are one of two ways. One, you know, in some track system, they go out the back door. And the startup procedures are on the lip of the C-5. And the blades get spinning before being pushed out the back of a C-5. The other option is this. The aircraft get pushed out the back of a C-5, and the startup procedures are done during freefall, while in freefall. So my intent was to try and get this project done at a reputable aerospace company, of which there are not many in existence, like Lockheed or Boeing. Secondly, the bases to go out and be dropped onto the battlefield would have to be pushed out as well in one pass And 3D, I had no idea about where 3D printing was when this project was conceptualized. I didn't know, like, people were doing 3D homes or that the technology was even moving in that direction. But that's even better, that now our bases can be 3D printed and pushed right out the back of an aircraft. But there's a lot of development. I'm not lying to people. There's going to be a lot of scary developments doing this and a lot of coordination, because essentially flight charts for pilots with new traffic patterns for aircraft are going to all have to be altered. The FAA is going to have to be involved. I can assure you the EPA will have to be involved, you know, with emissions and whatnot. But I think you're going to get a large reduction in emissions over urban areas, because they're not going to be congested anymore. If you go to an all... Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Hello. I mean, James, I'm wondering if you move your mic a little further away from your mouth, that it might be... I'm still having difficulty following what you're saying.
Oh, well... I'm not sure what I can do. I don't know how much it's heard or not heard. So,
I mean, actually, it's better there. Go ahead.
Okay. So I don't know where I'm picking up from now. But anyway, what I'm trying to do is develop a new economy. That's why I'm running for governor and running for the presidency. More so, I can debate whoever wants to. You have a lot of divided parties within the military and the intelligence community. I don't even like using that word, but it's kind of like saying jumbo shrimp. But
take the next few minutes before the break, and then I'll address some questions to you following the break. So go ahead and round it out.
Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, it's quite simple to understand. The Army is too large to move around, and it moves stupidly over the earth, quite frankly. If your listeners and the American population choose to go my direction, they're going to get a brand new transportation system, vertical lift, is going to be highly valuable, because mega city problems are one of the biggest issues facing mankind today, both environmentally, in terms of environmental security, and also physical security for police departments, fire departments to move around these cities. So I strongly believe I can get approximately 30 to even 50% of the ground traffic that you currently see in mega cities, New York, Los Angeles, Bangladesh, whatever you can think of, off of the ground. So it's something for the American, that's what I'm running on, economic development. You're going to have a more powerful military for less cost, and life will be better. It's going to be an industrial revolution if you elect me. I'd be more than happy to debate this on stage with anybody. Maybe General Mattis or General Petraeus would like to run for presidency, and you'll see clearly how stupid those things are run. So, I mean, I don't know what to say from here. I'll be more than happy to answer your questions, any questions you have.
Well, actually, James, I'm going to open the call lines in for our listeners to call in. The number is 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452 for questions for James or me. And I'd be interested in getting your reaction to some of the major developments taking place here and now. The Supreme Court, the vax mandates, the Biden administration, the state of the economy, the flood of immigrants, a whole host of issues that are being addressed on the national stage, less frequently perhaps within the Wisconsin context. But since you've also run for president, I would like to get your take on those issues, among others. So we're almost
Absolutely.
To the break, James. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'd be more than happy to answer. I'm more than happy to answer any questions people have. I can go on for quite some time, actually. So, but let's do break or whatever, and I would be more than happy to answer. I knew I just threw a bunch of crap at you and your listeners, and you know, maybe wish it was a different format, like TV show or something like that. I have no experience running for a campaign or managing a campaign, quite frankly. I've been stabbing in the dark about how to do this, especially in context of the subject matter I'm throwing at the population. So, yeah, I don't know, whenever, how far are we to break time?
Oh, 2 minutes, 3, go for it if you want to add a few more thoughts.
Well, yeah, okay, so let me just kind of flip over to some other subject matter. As far as energy policy, even, like, this project I'm trying to pitch to the American people can't even be done unless it's under Donald Trump's America First policies and energy policies. This is going to require more energy. There's no need to, like, choose one of the, like, windmills or oil, pick one or the other. There's no reason we can't release all of the energy, to include the Keystone Pipeline, into America to get this project moving. Carbon fiber is oil-based. To my understanding, natural gas can be turned into jet A fuel. The emissions are actually going to go down because you're not going to have people stuck in traffic. All the construction that has to get done, you know, policies are going to have to be developed for an all aviation transportation system, like the architecture to prevent sound, you know, so you have proper sound abatement. People don't want to hear a helicopter buzzing over their place. It definitely can't even be done. This conversation is over if we don't do Donald Trump's America First energy policies and trade policies. It's this interview's over if we don't try and move back to that. There's no way it can be done under this Biden administration. He's pitching socialism and communism. Socialism bleeds right into communism. There'll be no innovation. Every market will be monopolized. I want this new aviation market to be opened up to the American people for competition. Use our human capital. So the people involved in trade, I want their taxes lowered. They're going to be working really hard doing this. So anyone who wants to who has the guts to try and get into aerospace business like I do, that's what I want to do. I got no capital. That's why I'm running for office. This is going to be a risky business. But I definitely believe in the American people. I have faith in the American people. We have some great engineers and architects if we choose to employ them in a good direction. This project can very easily be done.
James, stand by. We'll be right back after this break. Right back.
All right, sounds good. All right, thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Lying to yourself, because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm very concerned with the developments in Eastern Europe. Paul Craig Roberts has just published a piece in the UNS Review. Does Russia understand she is dealing with lunatics? I think he's getting it right. In advance of the January 10th meeting, Secretary of State Blinken and NATO functionary Stoltenberg stupidly reduced Russia's options to two, surrender or use force. If these idiotic accusations were not enough, Blinken accused Putin of intending to restore the Soviet Union. It's impossible to understand how a person this stupid was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as Secretary of State. The last thing the Kremlin wants is all the problems of all of these countries. All the Kremlin wants is that they be independent countries, not U.S. puppet states, armed against Russia. My take on the situation is that from foolish statements such as the above by Blinken and Stoltenberg and other ill-considered remarks from the White House and media, the Kremlin has concluded prior to Monday's meeting today that Washington will not take seriously Russia's military concerns. I think the Russians have come to the conclusion that the West will not take them seriously until the Kremlin demonstrates forceful action. The Russians are just giving diplomacy one last chance before they destroy the military installations that the U.S. has built in Ukraine. I came across this report from Pravda, dated about a month ago, November 26, that Russian nuclear submarines were urgently set to sea in a state of combat readiness. This does not mean the Kremlin is preparing a nuclear strike. It is meant to forestall any stupid Washington response to Russian removal of perceived threats just as the Israelis do routinely in their acts on Iraqi, Syrian, and Lebanese territory. As I've reported on occasion, the Russians have had their fill of Washington and are not going to take any more. The Russians have concluded that only decisive action on their part has any chance of sobering up Washington from its hubris and restoring a sense of responsibility in Washington, at least equal to the sense of responsibility that kept a lid on Cold War tension. If Washington is unable to recover a sense of responsibility, the possibility of Armageddon will again hang over our heads. My concern is that there is no one in the Biden regime or the decimated officer ranks of the U.S. military that has 5 cents worth of intelligence. The people with their hands on U.S. foreign policy are Russophobes with delusions of American omnipotence. Moreover, they believe their own propaganda, which prevents them from understanding the Russian view. I don't know if the Kremlin is capable of imagining a government as lunatic as the American. If the Kremlin does not understand they are dealing with lunatics, the situation could quickly get out of hand. James, your thoughts about Paul Craig Roberts' observation of how the situation is developing all too rapidly, alas.
Well, let me tell you something, let me tell you some criticism with our intelligence agencies. We're always a day late and a dollar short. It's like, yeah, thanks to this, all this information, Vladimir Putin thinks he's Peter the Great. And okay, that's great. I'm not trying to be cynical here. But there's already 80,000 troops on the border. This is notorious CIA crap where they're just late all the time. Like, it's not even relevant. The Ukrainians and Poland need a brand-new weapon system immediately that allows for more speed and maneuver because the communication speeds of Earth have increased tremendously. This is like almost a moot conversation. There's no policy that actually affects where the rubber meets the road. We can talk policy all day, but you have no way of maneuvering around the battlefield anyway. So this is going to, this brings us to like a Thucydides trap. Why can't we, this is what I get all the time from people. It's kind of like, I kind of turned in like Pazini from a Princess Bride military strategist trying to get this project through. Kind of funny and humorous. But there's nothing that can be done in terms of why I get this question a lot. Why can't we just nuke them? Have you ever got that question or those words come out of your mouth? Why can't we just nuke them? We have massive, we have the power to do that. We can't do that because there's plenty of people who can retaliate at this point in time. If America does some sort of massive attack using its full force with weapon systems, if not a nuke, something akin to that, it will draw the ire of everyone else, and it would be a great reason to attack America. And then you're back in your, nuclear strategy. It's really whoever shoots first, and from there, it's going to unravel really quickly. You're talking about, mega death here. Literally the word mega death. So that's one of the reasons we can't do that. We have great weapons. So, for example, like a javelin, which is like a shoulder-fired anti-tank weapon. We have great everything. The point is there's no way to maneuver the person to pull the trigger around the battlefield efficiently, even if they are given a bunch of weapons. The F-35 is extremely expensive. How many countries have the economy to purchase the F-35 that they'll need? Not many. And I don't want to be critical of like the people who create these things, like the F-35. I've been an aviation lover in my life. I'm using aviation examples. I'm not criticizing them. I'm criticizing things turning into a boondoggle. And so, you're not going to create some treaty. What treaty would you like to create? Vladimir Putin doesn't care. You can maybe do some sort of trade deal. Let me explain to you what a military is for. So when you try and do tariffs and say we're going to put trade or sanctions on this person and that person, well, I have some bad news for everybody. The whole reason of a military is if you try and do that, we're just going to come take territory. There's no, you're not going to sign some treaty at the end of World War II without dropping a nuke where, now the Japanese are, we're all friends now and all that sort of stuff. No, people are going to move around anyway, like China. is just going to move around like they did in World War II. To the American perspective, we and if this is accurate, you know, the main adversaries was Germany, Italy, and Japan. Well, as this was going down, other people are making moves. You know, it creates vacuums all over the planet when you have, like, a World War II event. No diplomat, and this is why we're in this problem. We've sold out to China. They've been gobbling up land all over the place. There's no treaty to these State Department morons. They think that they're slowly shaping the Chinese government into, like, a free market capitalist Western democracy. These are just idiots over there wasting people's time and money. There has to be a military plan to do that without using a WMD or some sort of biological weapon. It could go there, but nobody wants to do that, as you notice. It hasn't been done since World War II. So our weapons are great, but there's no way to make up for the community. Now we can send, like, pictures of, I don't know, city shaking and stuff a second around the world, halfway around the world. And, like, the Taliban has known this for a long time. It doesn't matter that we have the ability to spy in on their communications and stuff. They're already doing deeds in open communication. The deed's already done, whatever they want to do. They don't care about being killed, maybe captured because of fear of torture or whatever. But the deed is already done before our intelligence agencies can even get there by using like electronic surveillance. They're already there. Nobody got there in time. So that's what's hard to get through the leadership of the United States, which is arguably the worst senior leadership of the United States in the history of our country. You need some way to make up for time and speed with the communication speeds as they are. They don't give a crap. They're willing to die. They don't give a crap. That you can't fight the U.S. military toe to toe. The U.S. military doesn't lose battles. The U.S. military loses wars. And I would suggest you think about why that happened. And maybe have somebody for once push through a project as a governor or president or whatever who doesn't have to use the words on their resume, my mommy, my daddy, my cousin, my uncle, my brother, my spouse, as if that's like some magic bullet solving a lot of the world's problems. I don't have to say my mommy, my daddy, my cousin, my uncle to get the work done. I know what to do. It's going to turn into a massive boondoggle if you don't have somebody experienced handling these problems, because they're going to get ripped apart from other people's different opinions, other generals from NATO, politicians like Macron. They're turning it into like a global, it's global socialism. That's what it is, and it's garbage. I don't know what to tell you. Now, I mean, if you want to ask some more, if you have like a diplomat you'd want to put on the phone and, you know, how these treaties are going to go down, let me again remind you, the point of building up a large military is to say, screw you, even if you go sign the treaty, Vladimir Putin will sign something. His military is so that if he chooses to not sign some treaty, he doesn't have to. That's what the military is for. He's going to use it, and he's going to keep pushing up. And the same goes with China. As far as I'm concerned, Russia and China, in terms of all warfare, first of all, is economic warfare. That's the difference between battle and war. All warfare is economic warfare. Vladimir Putin and President Xi are doing circles around Western democracies in the United States because this country is so divided. Don't get me wrong. We have very, very intelligent people, if pushed into the correct direction, can handle all of this, me being one of them. Sorry, I got to toot my own horn, but I'm running for office. And I have other things I'd like to do with my life, like maybe make it to the senior tour of the PGA. Sorry to change the subject. But, you know, like, I have a life, too, and I would like to do other things in my life. But, you know, I mean, I'm arguably probably the most competent person to come on board and manage these problems because I never wanted to be a career politician. I still don't. I can do 4 years with this moving, get the country moving in the right direction. And then other smarter people than me, once in the technical process, aerospace engineers, structural engineers, biologists are going to be needed for the new bases because they're going to be self-sustaining in agriculture within the bases. So there has to be a proper mixture of fecal matter and crap like that. Well, once this project gets moving in the correct direction, and I can pitch it accordingly. I'm trying to get more money so I can do CGI and present it to you, present it to your listeners, and getting a team of good executives who can manage all the moving pieces of what I'm trying to suggest, which is primarily aerospace engineers, structural engineers, and biologists to deal with agricultural issues that evolve. But this has far-reaching implications of what it could change for mankind. To include, I noticed on one of your ads on your website, urban farming. Well, if you have self-sustaining basis with internal agriculture, the implication here is we can go back to some measure of we're now at like massive agriculture. Like, you could have your own garden being automated in your backyard. Food just growing through the use of hydroponics. I plan on using hydroponics to create the new bases for the army. And the implications for the civilian world is enormous. One, a new transportation system for everybody to be like the automobile, like Henry Ford did for the automobile. He didn't create the automobile. He made it accessible to many, many more people. Now, look, everybody has one. But in terms of the implications for civilian applications for the bases, in other words, you're going to be able to, like, flush your toilet. Your fecal matter is going to be rerouted to your garden. And you can, I know a lot of people like working in their vegetable and flower gardens just for their own enjoyment. But if somebody so chooses, we can go back to where a lot of your food can just grow within urban areas through the medium of hydroponics. Because soil is just a medium that holds the nutrients. And it holds, like, maybe the plant in place, the firmness of it. How hydroponics would work is essentially some form of gravel mixture where there's space between the gravel. You could just have the nutrient and fertilizer mixture flow through. We're talking about like very, very intricate agriculture process now. That's another reason why we don't need illegal immigrants flowing in when I'm talking about, and furthermore, agriculture is already moving into high technology. And I'm talking about automating agriculture. So that's another further reason why we don't need illegal immigrants coming in here putting us over capacity for jobs that are not even going to be needed traditionally, that you usually say, illegal immigrants or something. We exploit their labor for menial tasks, which I know this is a very offensive subject matter, but we're not going to be needing that anymore by anyone's opinion who has even a close eye on the subject matter at all. So we're just engaging in promoting slave labor instead of advancing our technology. So this is going to be very intricate agriculture that I'm trying to push the country towards, and other people are already doing it. But when you combine it with a very, very good military project, which also gets less of our soldiers killed, this is, we're talking about attrition here and economic development. If you want to have your kids put into, some just stupid war machine system that never really achieves its goal. We're back to Sharia law in Afghanistan. I can't believe these feminists, they don't want to support our troops. And there, you have women being sold, girls, little girls being sold into, marriage effectively and miserable conditions under Sharia law. It's more like tribal warfare, where it's not just like Islam settles the whole place because of the terrain. You're dealing with tribes. They break down into tribes and loyalty, down geographic locations and what they can possibly manage and police. People like Ahmed Shah Massoud, who was killed, at the beginning of the Afghan war. He held down territory. That's the thing. Like, he held it down. People trusted him. He had the sway of the population. But whether it be issues of justice, issues of clean water, issues of food supply, he got the job done. So you don't want to like let people like that get killed. That would be a good idea. So where am I going? I'm sorry. What was your question again? Where am I going with this? Where are we going with this? So anyway, this is going to have massive consequences in the field of aviation, in the field of urban planning, in the field of very intricate agriculture, new ways of doing it. I'm planning on using the ribbon. I know I sent you a couple of concept sketches, but your listeners can't see it. This is why I'm on here. And once again, I want to thank you for having me on, because I'm trying to build the money to create a better, I don't have an internet presence right now, but I want to really create a really nice website to give visual detail to everything that I'm saying. And the U.S. population can then go and reference everything I'm saying. And it's very doable. It is a massive change. I'm talking about massive change to the United States in regards to agriculture. And the American people are going to get the second golden era of aviation out of this. And I want people to be competing for these, like the automobile. I mean, look how many different variations of the automobile. I mean, there's certain things that are common with the automobile. It has four wheels, doors, a roof, a windshield. But, you know, you're talking about competing for interiors and different uses. It's almost endless. And I'm essentially trying to do what Henry Ford did with the automobile. Open up a completely new market. We can have assembly plants in third world countries that people now have an economy to start supporting it independently without constant foreign aid, like from the UN. The UN's mostly useless. They just point out all the problems like a useless dish. The UN doesn't really do anything productive, because if you're constantly having to do foreign aid, then you're not doing development in that area. It's just never-ending foreign aid in perpetuity, where the United States taxpayer pays the bill, and other countries as well, you know, other Western democracies, France and Britain and everyone else, along with that. But this is going nowhere. I think I would really like to push the UN completely out of the picture, since they don't do much of anything useful anyway, because if you're doing proper economic development in an area, a lot of those needs that where the UN comes in, they're out of the picture. There's nothing that needed to do if we can get more food and clean water into these areas and use our resources differently. And, the land development scheme I'm talking about, these bases, I was just based off of the ancient Hawaiian. I graduated from the University of Hawaii. The project that this involved to the military and civilians was just based off of the ancient land Hawaiian development system called the Apua'a. I probably stated it wrong. People laughing at me. The Apua'a system, which you can go online right now and look up. It'll quickly pop up onto your screen. It's vaguely designed off of that ancient land development system. I'm just adding a lot more. That was all gravity-based. Like, in other words, the pitch of the land had the water flowing from river systems laterally out from both sides of the river system. And it was completely dependent on gravity. We're talking about no electricity at this time. This is ancient. But what I'm pitching to the American people, this is all going to be using it's going to use a lot of electricity, but we have ways of dealing with that. It's going to be using pumps, self-sustaining bases where there's fish ponds within the base. And what this is going to do is allow our military to not really have a need to be resupplied at all, or if there is a need for resupply, very little. And then simultaneously turning it into a new transportation system as well to be used everywhere. We're going to have like another layer of traffic moving above cities. And I have a whole plan to keep the town down. And like I said, this has to be coordinated with the FAA to do it in a first world country. This is why I wanted to do it in Afghanistan, but the Obama administration people are just useless people. But James Comey, John Brennan, they really should be working at like Starbucks. I should pay Starbucks and McDonald's, but I don't want them to go get a job at Starbucks and McDonald's, because I love those places and they'll ruin that too. Just useless people. The most useless people I've ever seen in my life. So, I mean, I don't know. If you want to open up the phone lines for callers to ask questions, I'll be more than happy to do so. I mean, I really am trying to get money to pitch the new aviation project for the United States and the implications here of the whole Western world, because everybody's going to want to have it after we create it. There's a number of security threats, primarily, especially in cybersecurity, to have this all automated. You could, like, literally have, like, a skyfall situation with, you know, aircraft falling out of the sky or crashing, if it isn't done right. And you have the intelligence and the military community politically divided. So if I run for governor, what I'm most likely going to have to do is create a brand new intelligence, ironically, a brand new intelligence agency loyal to the Constitution and with their eyes laser focused on this project, because there are massive security risks in doing this in the current state of the United States. People are going to really have to stop being politically divided. Otherwise, quite frankly, it won't work. All of Donald Trump's America First policies have to be enacted. The energy of the United States must become energy independent. Well, we don't have to answer to OPEC or anybody, any other group out there to, you know, balance out the economy globally. They can't even figure out how to do this. This isn't simply the responsibility of Federal Reserve. Listen, you have to be able to develop new things to meet new needs. But if, like, generals and colonels lie to the American people and tell them, don't explain their actual problems that are happening, which is illegal, that's called creating a false report, there's a reason why. If generals and colonels don't tell the American people what's actually happening with these wars and the problems with specificity, how can you employ our best minds to attack these problems? Because they're like, oh, I thought everything was going fine, you know? So it's a big deal to not be a lie. I want to use some harsher language right now. I'm not going to. I'm trying to work on that in my life, I guess. But I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to keep trying to push this forward through getting the money to, like I said, create a website. I really didn't want to create my own podcast to deal with this. But, like, yeah, if I run for governor, I'm probably going to have to create a new intelligence agency not full of morons. And so that they can actually watch this project very closely. A lot of problems with cybersecurity. Let me tell you something no one else in the Republican Party wants to say, because they don't have a plan to deal with it. They don't want to take responsibility for it. We have been in a cold war with China. For those of us who have been loyal to the Constitution and loyal to the concept of the United States being a republic, we've been in a cold war with China a long time, like since 2007, 2006. They just don't want to say the words because they don't know what to do. Well, I do. You know, I'm not like just bitching about things. I'm actually like, you know, if you don't have a solution, then you don't have a problem. That's my attitude. Well, I do have solutions. So I'm trying to get actual work done. Now I have to discuss issues like, what do you want to do about abortion, Jim? You know, I was just trying to get a job at an aerospace company. Now I'm like, what do we do about abortion? What do we do about education? Well, you know, especially in the realm of education, I do believe the money should follow the student. And this project, if I'm talking about being pushed through, is going to affect the end needs of what the education system should do.
Yes. James, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break with my special guest, James Furmani. We'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my featured guest today, James Romani, who has an extensive background in military, given a lot of thought to technology, especially developments in modes of air transportation that have vast ramifications, is running for the Republican nomination for governor of Wisconsin. Any of you who would like to have questions for James are welcome to call in 540-352-4452, because my producer, Mitchell Bupp, has himself extensive background with politics. I'm very glad to have the opportunity to invite Mitchell to join us in conversation with regard to his assessment of your ambitious project for America. Mitchell, please join the conversation.
Hey, howdy, howdy. Well, it is ambitious. I often worry about what we've done in the Middle East, or well, not only in the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq, but also in Ukraine and now in Kazakhstan. Where, you know, we used our the same tools we used in Ukraine, we used in, Kazakhstan. And, it's, you know, it's this never ending war against, well, against Russia. I don't see it being productive in the end. It really does seem that, this color revolution, was run by the CIA in Kazakhstan.
Parallel to the one run by Victoria Nuland in the Ukraine, and where, of course, Soviet military equipment, Russian military equipment is far superior to American, and anyone who contemplated a war with Russia, in my opinion, has simply lost track of reality. They have far greater capacity to take out our satellites and our equipment and our facilities there than we have to defend them. So it seems to me that's a brainless project, and yet Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, as Paul Craig Roberts was observing, is promoting the idiotic stance of surrender versus war. NATO is not acknowledging the solemn obligations that were made way back in the time of Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan to not politicize the Eastern Bloc countries that would become independent sovereign nations, which George H. W. Bush and George Bush himself further encroached in Eastern Europe. I find all of this despicable. It shows the United States is not a nation whose word has any significance whatsoever, even under the most solemn circumstances. And for now, the U.S. and NATO to be threatening Russia, it seems to me, is about as brainless as it gets. But then, as Paul Craig Roberts observed, Russia needs to understand that it is dealing with lunatics. James, your thoughts.
Oh, well, yeah, I definitely agree with you dealing with lunatics. They have, you know, like, this has been said on the news as well. Like, Russia has, when you look at the amount of space and the ambition that Russia is taking up and the size of their economy and their population, it's exorbitantly way out of proportion. Vladimir Putin, if I was in his position, let me tell you this, which I don't want to be in his position, but if I wasn't, I would be doing the exact same thing that he's doing. Like, if I was, like, I'm in control of Russia, and he's advancing, it is a petrol state. He's creating, continues to advance the weaponry at the cost of his own health and well-being of his population. His population is going to go further into poverty. He doesn't care. He's going to continue doing it. And you know what? If I had to switch roles, I'm already in that position and have to deal, and I didn't have a great economic development plan like myself, like my economic development plan for the civilian population, any pick a population anywhere, it's going to be, the life quality is going to go way up. I mean, if I wasn't already, in my opinion, smarter than Vladimir Putin, I would do the exact same thing that Vladimir Putin is doing, without question. He is advancing. He has no intention whatsoever of backing down. He's dumping all that money into advanced military technology. We've seen this before. With Ronald Reagan, the only thing to do is to put him out of business with a plan like mine. And an industrial, you would have to do an industrial revolution to put Vladimir Putin and President Xi and the Communist Party out of business. You have to go big. And I would do what Vladimir Putin is doing, I would too. And it's not simply like he wants to restore the old borders of the Russia that was and the Soviet Union. He doesn't have an economic development plan to cover that. But Russia is massive. This is massive territory and very difficult territory at that. If I was Vladimir Putin in his situation, I'd do the exact same thing. And quite frankly, he's smarter than us, aside from me, of course. He's smarter than anyone in our U.S. arsenal. He's doing circles around people. So, I mean, My advice, if I had to give advice to a dictator, I would tell Vladimir Putin to continue doing what he's doing because he's doing a great job. Like from the perspective of wanting to encourage Russian, it's an authoritarian government to pop the Russian. There's wonderful Russian people. You know, there's people all from every part of the world living here in the United States, and wonderful people from every country, and they love America. But his population, he's going to continue being Vladimir Putin, let me tell you right now, and he's doing a great job at it. There's we can carpet bomb the border of the Ukraine and Russia. We can. The United States has the ability. What happens from there then? Let's do some Venn diagrams in our head, please, some cause and effect. Now China and Russia, look at the American aggressors just obliterated. And then, of course, innocent civilians will be killed through carpet bombing, of course, or some larger form of weaponry, and that will not look good. And it just, it, the, you know, the sweater unravels from there. So, what do you say? I mean, whoever I'm talking, what do you think about what I'm saying?
Oh, James. My name's Mitch. I'm Jim's producer.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you're 110. You're right on the money. You're 110% correct on the fact that from some of the things that I see that we're still at war with the old Cold War. and the Soviet Union. I'm getting a feedback there from somewhere.
I know. I don't know quite why.
But yeah, you know, we're still in that aggressive war stance, and that's going to cause irreparable damage to any future anybody has. So.
Absolutely, we are definitely, we've been in a Cold War. You have a lot of just politicians who want to mince words and not just say things as they are. At no point in time has China in its history, where our State Department and our missionaries and other people going into China, slowly shaping China into a free market capitalist society. At no point in time in Chinese history has this ever happened. You have delusional diplomats, just naive morons running. I'm talking about the Obama administration and, of course, now the Biden administration. These are just, they're complete imbeciles. They think they're doing things that they're not. And I'm sad to say a lot of them think they genuinely believe that they're being effective. You know, like they're influencing the Chinese to become less Chinese. They're not doing it. The Chinese Communist Party doesn't give a shit about these, you know, cordial mingling. They're mingling. That's what our State Department is doing. They're mingling with communists, and they think that they're influenced, and they think they're so influential. These are just morons at the State Department. You know, just get them out of there. Like, purge these, like, patriots are getting purged from the United States. They're purging these State Department morons who think that they mingle so good, they're changing communism. The Chinese Communist Party. These are idiots running the government. So I've never seen anything so. And I grew up during the Reagan era. You know, and this is like review of grade 6 through 10 for me. I grew up here in Wisconsin, a lot of military here where I grew up. And, you know, I was influenced by a lot of Vietnam vets and a World War II vets who were younger, of course. So I've been highly influenced by a lot of World War II and Vietnam vets on a daily basis, grew up there in the Reagan area. All this is old hat subject matter for me. I really want to make it to the PGA. I'm hoping that I can become a politician and, you know, get my handicap down to scratch because this is just not even interesting. I mean, you're right, sir. You know what you're talking about. I think you agree with me. I agree with we have to go to the Trump policy, especially in regards to energy. For me to do what I want to do at a minimum, I would love to hear another general come on the phone or your show, or admiral. Admirals are kind of annoying and start to get involved with military affairs on the ground. Like they kind of forget that they're admirals. Kind of comedic. But anyway, I'll move along from that. I would love to have this conversation more. Maybe all of you would be so kind as to have me on further. I'm going to try and get money to build websites now. I'm still pushing it through. I really appreciate you having me on. But, I don't know where you want to go. That's kind of my pitch. It took more than 30 seconds, that's for sure. But they're really, you know, we're going back and forth about bringing Vladimir Putin or President Xi to the table. And they're going to hammer out some amazing trade deal. And then we have this, you know, we have world peace and a brave new world. Vladimir Putin and President Xi are laughing their asses off, as I would be. I mean, I would be laughing my ass off at us, too. The whole point of having a military buildup is like that. We're not going to agree to these trade deals. That's the whole point of having a military. We decided no. You know, and they're doing massive technology advancement and increasing the numbers and pushing forth on more territory. The Chinese are moving further out with their naval ambitions, which is something the Chinese never really did in the whole history of China up until the 20th century. I'm saying, you know, one reason, two reasons here and there, but by and large, it's highly isolationist psychology for the Chinese. This is a new in the terms of human history. It's World War II that really escalates the Chinese. Okay, now we're going to start purchasing land. And they're doing economic warfare, like this Road and Belt Initiative through Pakistan. They're taking strategic points and purchasing up land here in the United States as well. mind you, through American businessmen. Think about that for a second. This is happening through American businessmen who are making millions and billions of dollars at the expense of selling out the United States, at the expense of just trying to destroy the Constitution, everything we stand for, and they're doing it good. They're good at it. Once you can accept that in your mind, that you're getting beaten, that you've already been sold out, now you can start making plans. You think you're going to suggest a massive treaty or trade deal with Vladimir Putin or President Xi. I have some other things I'd like to sell you as well. Call me anytime. I've got some things to sell you. That's it. That's really all I have to say. If you'd like to add something, to ask me some questions. That's about it for me. You know, I'm going to keep trying to push this project through on my own, regardless, and I thank all of you for allowing me to be on your show.
Very good. We have a caller here joining us. John, please join the conversation.
Yes, this is 913. Can you hear me?
913. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You know, I'm just curious to know how you plan on getting past this left and right paradigm garbage because we clearly have a uniparty. And just none of this is sustainable, and none of this is going to work. When this is all said and done, the politicians are going to be tagged as organized criminals, and that stuff is going to be banned. So if I was you, I'd run as far away from politics as possible, because they're going to be the ones that get away when the destruction of the United States is made worldwide. The politicians are going to be hunted.
Oh, yeah, sir. I actually agree with you. I can't. I'm kind of like a moth to the flame. Let me give you a little bit of background. I lost my kind of pursuit project. I kind of lost my career dream. Now I'm pissed. And you're right. But I still think America has a last chance if we can garner up. You know, like, I hate fear mongering. We actually do have some patriots who think like myself and think that there is a possibility. Like I said, you're being sold out. You can't fight the U.S. military protocol. You have to do economic warfare, purchase land, influence the Constitution, the erosion of the Constitution, because you'll get your ass whooped on the battlefield from our U.S. military. So you can't do that. You have to use hit-and-run tactics and economic warfare to beat the U.S. military, which I'm sorry to – I don't want to create fear, but I'm sorry to tell you we're losing. In my opinion, I think with my economic development plans, we can at least make another stand for, I don't know, let's say 100 years. And I hate to be – I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm an optimist. But I would love to see Donald Trump become president or myself, because Donald Trump already laid the rough construction groundwork. I kind of like to use this.
Donald Trump has been compromised, bro.
Everybody, and to include you should even – This is a dirty business, sir. This is a dirty, dirty business.
1,160-plus people ran for president, and you guys are only going to shuffle us two? Shame on all of you.
Yeah. No, I'm in agreement, but I would like to pick apart his policies. And you know what? We don't know how much is actually just pushed through in reality in effect. That's why I wanted to see
the American people. Ain't nobody getting arrested. We went from locker up to lock us up.
Well, I understand your sincere pessimism. I would still like to think that it can be done to keep the United States a true republic.
I would call it more like accuracy. Because my statements were so accurate, I've got my Corvette up for grabs for anybody that can prove me wrong on Trump, and I've still got all this shit on there for over a year. I still got it, James. I get what you're saying, sir.
What I'm saying is, let me just separate Donald Trump from the policies. The policies are separate. Now, how much of those policies actually get through Congress and get what you see the problems, you're watching it very closely. I know that you are. But you know what? A lot of, if you go to the true constitution, a lot of these offices don't even exist. City council, the school board. You do need a mayor because rural territories and urban territories have different needs and different functions. But really, if you're like a school principal, for example, you don't have the ability to stand and deliver in front of the public and explain at a local level what sort of education system you want. And so the city council doesn't have the guts to explain to people they're pumping out socialism here in Wisconsin, as far as the city council. Wisconsin is actually a very conservative. You step outside the borders of any city, Wisconsin's a highly conservative state. And so,
if I may make one more statement, and then I'll just listen to everything on air, because in case another caller wants to call in. But we need a we the people. We the people are terrorists. You need to have a black eye bigger than anything you've ever seen.
Yeah. So let me tell you my position and how I view things.
Hey, have a good day. Great show. Good luck to you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling in. You got another call for me?
Mitchell, further thoughts here. We're in the stretch.
Okay. Yeah, hey. I've really thrown a lot of spaghetti on the wall, as you guys use that analogy. I mean, I know I've thrown a lot. My ideas are altering. They're going to alter society because whenever you introduce a new technology in mass, not just simply a new technology, but you do it and you try and bleed it down into the masses, like Henry Ford did. I'm ruffling a lot of feathers. And I'm not overly concerned. I talk to a lot of people on a weekly basis. You wouldn't believe. I get laughed out of a lot. You're like, you're never going to get that pushed through. You're never going to get that passed. You have too many obstacles, this and this and that. Then I just get more pissed off, and now I'm trying to do more. So, that's the big. I would like to discuss this further. I'm running for office, so I'm trying to get financial support. I would like some. I do have digital media and mass communications issues that need money to be solved to run for office. There's nothing free in this world. I wish there was. As a politician, I'm looking for campaign money, finance. I'm not Michael Bloomberg. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm running. I work as a substitute teacher, and I get some disability from the military. My body's a wreck. My body's been destroyed from the military, to include burn pits, which has to go before the VA. There's a ton of people are pissed off about that. That's just a side note. I have health problems from burn pits to my joints and ankles. I was in an airborne unit for 8 years straight. Most of, 95% of my jumps went good, but it's those few. It's those few where they don't go good. You get a wind gust or some other problem. And, my body's a wreck now. So, I have a lot of things I'd like to share with the American people, but here's the difference between me and other people running. One, I'm not running on who I know, my mommy, my daddy, my cousin, my uncle, my brother. And I'm presenting solutions. I'm not running a bitch. That's all I can really tell you. So I would ask you if you want me on your show again. I would be more than happy to be on your show again. I need as much help as I can get. You guys seem to have a good, understanding of what's going on. I probably share a lot of similar viewpoints with your listeners and yourselves probably. How you get from A to B? Yeah, I have different ways of getting there. But I think in general, my interpretation of the Constitution is as an originalist and a textualist. So what does it say? What does it say? Because I don't think our founding fathers are stupid. And all this subject matter, yeah, the technology has changed over the past 250 years. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes with technology. But the underlying subject matter that drives all of it, nothing has changed. They understood, our founding fathers understood this subject matter quite well. There's nothing new happening. And so, like I said, I'm a very strict constitutional conservative, an originalist, textualist, like Scalia, even though I'm not promoting Scalia, but, you know, I'm just saying that's my guiding philosophy when it comes to law, as an originalist and a textualist of the Constitution, which means why were these laws written? Why was the Declaration of Independence written? Why was the Bill of Rights written? Under what circumstances were the founding fathers writing these words? That's how I interpret the Constitution. And many other people do too. We're becoming a dying breed, but I'm not alone. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's my, thank you for having me on. I mean, that's my pitch. If you have any other questions, by all means, I'm Italian. I can go on for another 4 hours if you want, but, I don't think.
James, yes. James, we're good. It was excellent to have you on. I appreciate it. We wish you well in your campaign.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. It was a joy talking to you and your listeners. If I can talk to you again, hey, call me anytime you want. The number will be the same. And, God bless you, and God bless your listening, and God bless America.
Well, thank you for joining us. James Cromartie, a candidate for the Republican nomination for Governor of Wisconsin. Apologies for audio problems. I recognize there's something we got to get squared away, but we'll do our best in the near future to make sure we have better production values with regard to our audio track. Meanwhile, thank you all for your patience, to Mitchell, to John, for joining in the conversation today. Yeah, terrific. Very funny. I don't know. Maybe it was James' connection. There was something odd about it, that he may have been listening to the show at the same time, but others are reporting that we've been having audio problems on other shows, so we're going to need to see what we can do about that. Mitchell, I thank you so much, and everyone out there, see you on Wednesday for the event.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict, but...